Hi, hello, welcome. My name is Harley Watson and you're listening to Pink Prose. This is a show where I stick my head out of my laptop and into a mic and ask some questions with the writers of today who are not only doing the damn thing, but they've done the damn thing. They are published authors. I'm a receptionist by day, I'm based here in Huddersfield, and I'm a writer by quite literally any scrap of time I get. Like any opportunity I find to crack open that laptop, I do. I've been endlessly typing away for the last 8 or 9 months now, all working towards what seems like some beautiful and impossible castle in the sky of getting a book published. And actually, you know, the writing's not what's hard in this game, because that's an addiction. What's hard is remembering to eat and sleep and go outside, all because I'd much rather bang a couple more hours out on my laptop than doing stuff like washing my hair. Because I'm in that liminal space right now. I'm almost there with my manuscript, almost ready to start sending out to agents, but not quite. But I'm ready for the doom of it all to set in, because I don't actually know anything about getting published. No formal education in English, creative writing, no writer friends, no experience, like nothing. Just a girl with a laptop that's learned everything from the internet, and now I want to finally talk to someone who's actually walked that walk. Pink Prose is produced by the wonderful people at Kirklees Local TV in partnership with Huddersfield Lit Fair, so I'm not just here to serve my own anxieties. I'm here for all you writers at home, whether you've just opened up that fresh Word doc or you're on the brink of an existential breakdown because of the Word doc you opened 8 months ago. Pink Prose aims to settle some of the peace from the panic. So before we bring on our guest for some wiser words, here's some of mine. Go enjoy your existential breakdowns, because I know full well you're having them. Enjoy every minute of the insanity, because there's so much madness in this magic, and it'll all eventually become its own nostalgia. So while you won't find my name at this year's Lit Fest, you will find our guests. With me today is the lovely and talented Rebecca Ryan, author of My Extraordinary Life and The Philosophy of Love, who is here to help shed some light on what exactly can writers expect in the big wide world of publishing, and where do I begin? So, Rebecca, welcome. How are you?
Yes, very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you so much for being here. So, in your own words, can you just tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Rebecca, or Bex, unless I'm in trouble with my mum. And I live in Bradford. I'm, like you said, I'm the author of two books, My Extraordinary Life and The Philosophy of Love, which are published with Simon & Schuster. I used to be a teacher, mm-hmm. So that was kind of where I started. I was a history teacher for 12 years. Wow. But I'd kind of always written, always enjoyed writing. Hadn't really thought about doing it professionally. But yeah, when I had my daughter, I was like, oh, you know, it's sort of now or never type thing.
Yeah.
And so I thought I would...
Yeah, I feel like I'm at that point.
Yeah, I think you get to the point where it's like, I'd had an idea for a book a long time ago, but only in the sense that I thought, oh, that would be a good idea. Mm-hmm. I hope someone else writes it. And then sort of 20 years later, I was like, no one has written that idea still.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I should do it. Yeah, and then I was just, it just kind of went from there, really. I was quite lucky with how it all panned out.
Yeah.
And I left teaching a couple of years ago, and now I just write full time.
That's amazing. Congratulations, because that's
you.
A hard step for writers, even published authors.
Yeah, it was.
Still working full time.
Yeah, it was very scary, but it's for the best, and I'm very lucky.
So I want to start with your publishing story, because that's the level that I'm at right
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm stressing about. Haven't sent anything out there just yet.
Yeah.
And I'm already slightly spiraling at the thought of it.
Yeah.
So let's start with your first book.
Uh-huh.
Did you have a full book when you were sending queries out?
Yes, so I actually got, when I decided I was going to start to write, because I was a history teacher, I taught secondary school history, I sort of thought, oh well, that's what I should write. I should write historical fiction for middle grade, which is kind of like just younger than young adult. So I wrote a really awful middle grade historical fiction book.
Can I just stop you for a second? with me being new to this whole writing industry, I suppose. So when you say middle grade, because I've had to learn a lot of terms that I don't know. So what does middle grade mean?
So it just means for readers that are kind of 7 to 13.
Right,
so this was like upper middle grade. So it was like kids who were in year 7 at school, basically, which was what I was teaching. So it made sense to me to write that.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't actually love writing historical fiction, like I don't have the patience for it at all. But I wrote a 20,000 word manuscript, which looking back was like actually appalling. It was so bad. Wow. But it was obviously good enough because I got an agent with that actually.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, so I got an agent with that. So people say, did I have a full manuscript? Like,
yes.
Technically, yes, I did. But no one is going to buy a book. No publisher is going to buy a book that's 20,000 words long. Like, it needed to at least double in length.
Yeah.
Which it did do. So my agent, I got an agent with that. I got an agent quite
easily. Was it an easy process?
Yeah, it was quite easy. Yeah. She was very, like, I sent it off to 6 initially. And she was, I think she was like the third one to come back to me.
I think that's it though, isn't it? It's some people can take a year finding an agent and then other times it's like, no, got one in 2 weeks, responded
that's
immediately.
It. Yeah, it was real straightforward. I was still on maternity leave. But, you know, that was in 2017 and my book didn't come out. The book that I got a deal with didn't come out until 2023. So I had it kind of the other way around. A lot of people, I think, take a long time to get an agent and apply to like and have like 100, you know, rejections under their belt, which I didn't have that. But then that book didn't sell. I didn't get a deal with that book. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I didn't actually enjoy writing historical fiction or for children.
Yeah.
So I did a complete U-turn and wrote a book for adults. I kept my agency, so I was lucky that I could stay with the same agency. But that took a long time because I had other children in between, which slowed me down. So I got an agent quite quickly, but then my journey to getting a book deal was actually...
That's
long, very long.
That does. I had a question about that actually, because it's not the rejection that scares me. It's what you've just said, which is like being on submission, and editing and reworking stuff like that. Like you have the security, of an agent.
Yes.
But then it's that long, drawn out process.
Yeah. Everything,
afterwards.
I mean, and it's so different because, like I said, I was a teacher before and teaching is really fast-paced.
Yeah.
You know, your day is regimented, it's broken down into 5 hours. You know, if we advertise for a position as a teacher, you put out the advert and then you get someone the next week. You know, it's really, really fast-paced. And publishing is not like that.
Yeah.
It is incredibly slow. Like, I got my deal in 2021 and my book didn't come out for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yay, I'm going to be an author. And everyone was like, when's your book coming out? And I was like, oh, in 2 years.
Writing takes a long time.
Yeah, everyone was like, what?
Then...
And I'd written it by that point. It was pretty much done. It just took 2 years to do everything else. It's really, really slow.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of have to just...
Yeah, I'd rather just have a straight-up rejection and just someone tell me no rather than the waiting game.
Well,
I don't need that.
Yeah, and I think rejections come quickly because someone can look at something
and
be like,
yeah,
no.
Reject me quickly, please. So you weren't actually querying for that long then?
No, I wasn't in both instances. So I got my agent quite quickly, a couple of weeks, and then by the time I'd actually written the adult book and we'd sent it on submission, I think we got an offer within a week. So it was really quick. I mean, it was sort of frenzied and a bit scary and a lot's going on behind the scenes. And it's by that point, you know, you're so close. You're so close to getting there.
The stakes
are incredibly high.
Yeah.
I think I just locked myself in a bedroom with
my
little boy and was on a rocking chair, kind of going backwards and forwards, just like panicking the whole time.
I've already planned out as soon as I like send all my queries out to agents, I'm going on holiday.
That's a good
because
idea.
Because I can't sit around in real life and be just looking at my phone constantly.
Yeah, well, you need to set up a separate email. That's
don't
what I tell
her.
Yes, that's it. Because I had my main email, and I'd be like, an email, and it would just feel like another like promotional thing.
Yeah, no one's having Mahalia Ellis 1, 2, 3. We're not going there. So from landing a deal, then to the shelves, that's like a 3-year process.
So
it doesn't always have to be that.
No,
way,
it doesn't have to, and it depends on the publisher. Like the bigger publishers, because they're publishing so many titles each year. You're kind of a cog in a machine. Mm-hmm. I think 2 years is pretty extreme. They wanted to bring my first book out in a January because mm-hmm. it has a kind of anti-New Year's resolution message to it.
Yeah.
And it was going to be too soon. It was going to be too quick to bring it out in 2022. So that's why it was pushed for 2023. But I think generally you're looking at 18 months for the bigger publishers, mm-hmm. A year, maybe 9 months for mm-hmm. some of the smaller presses or the digital ones. The mm-hmm. digital ones are much quicker. You know, they can do it in kind of 6 months.
Yeah.
But bookshops and supermarkets buy their titles that they're going to stock 6 months in advance. So, you know, it's a kind of knock-on effect mm-hmm. And it slows everything down. You just need to, whatever your expectations are, you need to add 6 months onto it.
Yeah, no, I've already learned that now at this point. So I'm like, will I be sending these emails out at the end of this month? Like, it's just time's just a relative thing. You're like really, really close and then you just turn another corner and it's like, oh, that's just another month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Added. So what were the hardest experiences for you in all of this, just that waiting game?
The waiting was tricky. I think the hardest thing was writing book two, to be honest. Because,
well, it's that second, yeah, like, the book second trauma book.
Yes, it was traumatic. And like I said, the adult book that I wrote, I'd had the idea for it decades ago. So by the time I actually wrote it, it was quite cathartic.
Starting from that blank.
Yeah, exactly. But then book two was like, write another book. And I was like, what? I've just written one. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And I felt like I didn't know how to write one. I'd never written, you know, mm-hmm. before the middle grade, I'd never done any creative writing.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing at all. So I rewrote book two mm-hmm. like 80 times.
Yeah.
So I always say that I think that's the book that kind of taught me how to write. So I'm proud of it now. Mm. But at the time, I was just like, what am I doing? Yeah, yeah. And I'd go on and look at teaching jobs online and be like, maybe I should just go back to that.
No, that's the magic of writing, though, because you don't know where it's going to take you.
Yeah.
And it's just like it kind of writes itself eventually.
Yeah. Yes, it does, yeah.
Did you always want to go for a top five? No. Or were you just like, just give me anything?
Yes, yeah. I used to joke to my agent and be like, you know, I don't even care if they pay me. And she'd be like, haha,
we definitely,
and she'd be like, haha, no, we need them to pay you.
like, pay stop it, well.
And then I had a couple of publishers who wanted it, and I met three different editors, mm-hmm. and I'd be kind of smiling away on the Zoom because it was locked down and we couldn't actually meet. And my agent would be texting me, stop smiling, they're going to give us less money. I think one of my offers were definite was for a digital press. Mm-hmm. I would have probably taken anything.
Yeah.
But because there were different offers, it mm-hmm. kind of helped generate interest. Yeah. And I do think you get stability being with a bigger publisher.
You do, don't you? Yeah.
So that's the ideal. But at the time, I didn't know enough about it to even know that, you know, that this was a thing that people kind of strove for. Yeah. I was just like, well, whatever.
Very lucky then. That's good, I suppose, not going in with an ideal, because I have an ideal and I'm like, this is what I want.
I'm
in a Simon & Schuster publishing deal now.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's pluses and minuses. It is, you know, I feel like I was very naive and I was lucky that it all worked out. I think actually I probably needed to have had more knowledge mm-hmm. about the industry and mm-hmm. have been more involved in it, you know, before, but...
Were you open with them about your naivety? Because I have some drafts of my manuscript emails and I've kind of put that in. Like, I don't know what I'm doing apart from what I've written.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was honest about
it.
I think you are better to be because,
you know. You kind of look foolish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And they don't need that.
Yeah, and I think in some ways they prefer that from a debut author because they can kind of, you know, encourage you along a certain way. They can kind of mould you and give you advice. And I work really closely with my publicist and, you know, I feel like she appreciates that I'm open to whatever she suggests. I've not come in with my own agenda or my own ideas because I don't have any, mostly. No, I'm just willing to do whatever they tell me to do. And I just say yes to everything because it's all new to me and, slightly less new now, but it has been all new to me. And so I've really enjoyed, I think they've enjoyed and I've enjoyed like learning together a little bit.
Yeah. Right, well, I'll take that on board. I wasn't... You've said the one thing that scared
me,
which I didn't think, which was that whole, like, you landed an agent early, but then you had to do that long wait, which kind of terrifies me. But at the same time, if I land an agent, I'll probably be so happy that I work.
Yeah,
there
that's
at the same
it.
Time.
And I think by the time, probably writing's hard because you very rarely have someone else saying to you like, you are good, keep going.
Yeah.
And I think if I hadn't had my agent, I would have quit probably.
Yeah.
Like at the point I had three kids at one point, and
I don't know how you do that. I struggle with time because I'm working full time, which a lot of writers do, but then I was reading some interviews with you, like, I've got three kids, and I'm like,
yeah,
how?
Yeah, I have no idea, to be honest. I mean,
I never imagined doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it was lockdown and we were all there was nothing else to do, basically. But yeah, I think it is hard, but you know, you just make
it's
time. If you
hard,
want to do it, you just
completely.
Do it. Like, you sacrifice other things.
You
like, we just ate takeaways for like a year straight.
No,
and
I can't remember the last time I went out.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
But I'm willing to sacrifice.
But when you have an agent, you have someone else saying, like, this is good, keep going. And that is so important in writing, to meet other people that are going to give you that encouragement. Because, I would have quit. I had too much else on, really. Yeah. It was not practical to be making a career move at that time, in reality. Because I had an agent, she was like, keep going. I think there's an idea in this. I think it's good. And so that kind of nudged me on. And she was a professional as well, you know. So I think getting an agent, lots of people see getting an agent as the most important step. And I would 100% agree. Because you've got someone in the industry who says, yes, like, you can do it. We believe that you can do it.
Yeah.
And they have faith when you don't.
Just when you're about to get, like, knocked down by your own mind.
Exactly.
They pull you
right
back in because you exist in that.
Yes.
Vacuum for so long.
Yeah.
It's just you.
You're in publishing land.
And
once you've got
screen.
An agent, you're in publishing land.
Yeah. Big confidence.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens because I'm so close now. I've booked a week off work.
Exciting.
I'm hoping in that week we're going to finish the manuscript and get it out. I mean, there's still got a long way to go, but
there's always more.
I need some
do
feedback.
Stuff.
I did give it to my harshest critic of a friend, and she was like, please don't do this to me. Because you know I will give you an honest answer.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's exactly why. But then she turned to me and was like,
yeah. My mum said my mum read my manuscript for my extraordinary
my
life and said it was quite good.
I think mum's probably the hardest So I just want to get your opinion on some of cultural issues surrounding writers today, specifically in the North, because your books have a Northern voice to them, which is similar to myself. So how does the Northern voice find its place at a publishing house like Simon & Schuster? Do they know what they're doing with it? Do they edit it out?
No,
I think
I mean, I think I've been, again, really lucky that, you know, my editor is, she does kind of champion voices from people in different parts of the UK. So even though she is from London, she lives in London now, she's not massively London centric with the projects that she takes. And my agent knew that when she pitched it to her. She knew she was looking for stories from not just London, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of luck, but also kind of my agent doing her job that I've ended up with an editor who was willing to take on, authors who don't live in London. So I felt like she's been a real champion of it, actually. And Simon & Schuster, as a publisher, do a lot outside London.
Well, massive.
Yeah, they
global.
Are. Yeah, and they're, you know, they sponsor Bradford Lit Fest, so they do a lot outside of London. There's been like a few instances where, you know, my second book is set in Easington Colliery in the northeast, and there's a bit of, you know, my character goes on the bus.
I also have a bit of that. I've got a bit of south and north.
Yeah,
versus.
Yeah. Well, I think the north has kind of a unique humour.
I think
that can be hard to. Mm-hmm. You know, for people from London sometimes to understand.
Yes.
And she was a bit like, I'd be really interested to see how the buses work in Easington Colliery. And I'm like, they're just a bus. They work the same as they work everywhere else. There's been a few things, but she can laugh at herself.
Okay.
And I, you know, we'll laugh at it together. I mean, and I've been lucky again that I've had the same editor for all of my books, and you know, for any that might be coming, I've got the same editor. So we work closely together now, and we have a good relationship, and we can kind of laugh basically if she suggests something that's very, very London. But I think publishing in general remains incredibly London centric.
Yeah,
I think slowly it's starting to change. Mm-hmm. There are some there are more Northern authors now than there used to be. I think it's still harder because there isn't that ready-made network of people doing the same thing as you. But equally, I think on the flip side of that, you know, as a London author, I'm not saying you're 10 a penny, but there's a lot more of them.
It's a bigger competition.
I feel like in the North, people, like, I've had so many like bookshops and lit fests and events because people really get behind local authors. Yeah, and that's really, really nice.
Yeah.
You know, I go to my old school, where I went when I was younger in Hartlepool, and do sessions there. And it's, you know, those kids want to read stories set in somewhere that they recognise.
Yeah.
So I think slowly publishing is changing. And as more books come out that are set in the North and do well, it's only going to encourage them to do that more and more.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're on the right trajectory, even if they're not there yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely. Well, I think that's all we have time for, but thank you so much for being here. Before we go, I just want to ask you, even for published authors with two books under belts, it's still a hard process. So what's the one thing that you would say to yourself for book number three?
Yeah, well...
Are you writing book number three?
I've written book number three.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all kind of in the process.
Is it being edited and everything?
It's being edited now, hopefully, yeah.
Knocking them out. Yeah. My goodness.
It does feel like I'm knocking them out, yeah. I think the best piece of advice I give to myself or any author is that you have to remember that it's a lot of luck. You know, it's so easy to take judgments and rejections personally and to see them as a kind of reflection on you as a person or you as a writer, when often it isn't. Often there's so many factors that are beyond our control, what the market's doing, what people are reading, you know, there's so many things that influence that. You have to remember that there's a lot of luck, because even if you're successful, you have to remember that it's been luck, because otherwise you just have an enormous ego and be completely unbearable. You know, you have to remember it's luck, and all that you can do is concentrate on the words that are on the page, on your, you know, the only thing in your control is what you write. And so I would remind myself that that's the only thing I can control and the only thing I should focus on, and remember that the rest is luck.
It's a hard blow when you've been writing something like a year or 18 months, and it's just like some people's, it's never seen the light of day.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, purely bad luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Not because of the writing.
You can't take it personally. And it's often, I see so many great books, you know, that don't get anywhere. But all you can do is make the writing as good as you can and hope that... you know, the rest falls into place.
Yeah, there is some stories that I've been reading up about people's work. They're lost on submission, but then they've, like, reworked it a little bit, and then, like, 5 years later, it's gone out
it's
done its thing.
That's it. Things change, market trends change. You know, you have to write the right thing at the right time. And that is luck more than anything.
It's all luck, baby. Okay. It's not great advice, but unfortunately it's very realistic, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just have to be like, just keep going.
Keep going.
Keep being tenacious.
Yeah.
And where can readers keep up with you as well before we go?
Yep, I'm on Instagram. I'm Bex Ryan Author on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on Twitter, but
not on Twitter,
on X, whatever it's called now. But I mean, it's like a tumbleweed of my profile.
I'm the same.
There's nothing on there.
My last Instagram post was from 2022. And I'm like, we need to cut that out because if you want your book to survive a little bit.
Yeah, there's a really good community of book people on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's very friendly on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I use Instagram a lot.
Good for connections.
X, very much less so.
Which is, yeah, I can't remember when my last tweet was. Yeah. I don't think I should probably delete that actually.
Yeah, but... I probably should delete one.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you've got any questions about the publishing process, you can catch Rebecca along with author Charlotte Furness at the Lawrence Batley Teepees on the 25th of April. So go and book yourself a place at hoodlitfest.org.uk and support Northern Voices in the community.